mothers.
And others.
Popular music and parenting.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Your hosts today are Liz.
Hi.
And Shelley. Hi, that's me. And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Today we are joined by Lizzie Mack and Murray Cook from the Soul Movers, a Sydney-based retro-funk meets mega group. Now, three albums in, they're here to talk about their new offering, Evolution, while also exploring the journey that got them there. We're so pleased to have you here, Lizzie and Murray. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Do you mind just reminding our listeners, too, how you two met?
Just years and years and years of going, hello, tall person. And then I think it was an ex-partner of mine bumped up to Murray in the boys' loos, and Murray said, what's that girl, that tall girl's last name? And he found out my last name, sent me a message, and he just retired from the Wiggles at that point. And he was looking for a musical outlet, and he'd been doing a bit of playing with JFK, but wanted a full-time thing. And our guitarist had just gone to Europe for 3 months. So we were like, come and have a jam. And then by the time he got back, it was sort of like a, you know, a fun Saturday morning kind of thing, a few gigs. Murray was in the band, very firmly ensconced, and was talking about putting the wheels back on the Soul Movers, which I had originally started with Dennis Tech from Radio Birdman. And when we split up after 8 years, we kind of put it up on blocks for a little while. But Murray had some shiny new wheels and some great guitars, and we got it down and we blew the dust off. And now, yeah, that was our first album. Now it's four albums, I guess, since the beginning. We're a whole new ball game, but with the same sort of soul, pop, runk, you know, funk, retro roots, which over those 11 years have come back into fashion and got a whole young generation of people listening to that great music, including the original Wiggles fans.
I love that.
All in their 20s now. So it's a nice sort of, you know, coalition of events and happenings and music and Spotify, and it's all sort of making sense.
We recorded it last year. We wrote and recorded it when the COVID restrictions were lifted slightly, so we could actually go into the studio. We were looking for a studio last year to record in, because the album before we'd recorded in the US in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And so we, you know, we always try to do something a bit different. So we thought this time we'll find somewhere in Australia and try to get a producer, because we've always produced ourselves up until this point. And Lizzie found Rankin Street Studios in Botany in Sydney, gave them a call, and Garth Porter, who was the songwriter and great keyboard player from Sherbet, who were a huge band in the 70s, if you're not old enough to know, and also has been a producer for many years. And he owns the studio. He answered the phone, and they got on. They talked about dogs and what have you, and really bonded. And so we went in to see the studio, and he was there, and we chatted for a while, and we said, you know, we're looking for a producer, and he put his hand up. And so it was actually quite exciting for me, because Sherbet were the first band I saw when I was 13. So it was kind of slightly surreal. But anyway, we got together, you know, once we were allowed out of the house, and we had a bunch of songs, but Garth sort of helped us pull them apart, or he did a lot of pulling apart. He has very strong views on how a song should go, and that was good. It was a good learning experience for us. And then we wrote a few songs with him as well. So he had a finger in the pie of most of the songs. And then he's like got very definite ideas about recording too, which was a different way for us. But it turned out really well. We're really happy with the results. And I think we've expanded our styles as well, but there's a sort of a sheen on there that we kind of haven't had before, because that's, you know, what producers do, I guess, good ones. And we've always been pretty retro, but it's kind of been more 60s, 70s retro. Now we've sort of crept into the 80s, which is kind of, you know, interesting scene. That's where my sort of career started. So we're happy with the results.
There is actually, yeah, the 80s one, would probably, there's one power ballad called Superman, and it's funny because really it's a superwoman Superman. So in terms of the themes of the album, I think what what we did deliberately try to put there was that spectrum of, Garth used to say, nourishment. And that was interesting for me because usually I'm up on my soapbox having a good old scream about women's stuff. But he sort of brought me into the middle perspective really and said, you know, how do we nourish our fans? And they're going to need nourishment after this year of, and I don't even like to say the word, I just now say BC because we're finding ways around it. But, yeah, you know, supporting, listening to, aligning with some of the themes that people really came very close to understanding more about, like not seeing planes in the sky and having very fresh air and, you know, having a smaller world, you know, possibly in backyards talking to people at washing lines or, you know, just that inspecting of the natural world on a really small level again because you're by yourself or you're waiting to see a friend from 1.5 meters away, you know. Just bringing it back down to that very personal level, and I'm sure that came through in the music and hence why some of the lyrics were very specific for, like, the key song, I guess, Evolution. I would probably add that information about the themes, yeah. Lift you up, make it funky, entertain, nourish, and put some hope in there as well, hopefully.
Well, I was going to say that Liz and I just earlier today were sharing our joy of the Circles Baby music video clip. And actually, and I found the lyric video for it as well. And so I was like reading it in the retro font as well, which was like so good to watch. And that is such a joyful video to see. And I reckon that that would have really uplifted a lot of people, I think.
That was a very deliberate attempt to get people working out at home. Richard Simmons, God bless him, didn't he have an awesome style, because we actually completely lifted the introduction to Circles Baby from one of his workout videos. So we just went, don't go halfway, you know, go all the way, and bringing Greg back for it and putting him back in a yellow T-shirt and having moving and grooving. I think that did it. If that couldn't do it, then what could, you know?
I love that. And I'd read that you had some wiggle stances that were perhaps with the original Wiggles back in the day when they were youngsters, and now they're, you know, more mature dancers, and here they are having an awesome sort of like retro boogie as your backing dancers. Nice.
There was a bunch of them. One of the girls who features fairly heavily and is in one of our other clips too for Hot Sauce, the remix, Holly Bishop. We toured with us when she was 17, and now she's, you know, older, and she's got her own children, and that was lovely because it was nice for me and the other original Wiggles to sort of see those people again, and it was, it was a real sort of family kind of thing, and it was great. And so we've used Holly, as I said, in a couple of clips now because she's just amazing, and you forget just how great those dancers were.
That's actually where the whole idea of Circles Baby came, the workout video came from, because we had those amazing dancers for the bushfire concert, and that's where I got to see them. And oh my God, there's a movie to be made there. There's a doco to be made there, because the sisterhood between them, having worked together when they were teenagers, but then having had, you know, 2 decades of having children together, and the laughter at trying to squeeze into their costumes. And one girl had to have her back open because she was breastfeeding at the time. And I just went, my God, this is something so special. So that's, I guess, when I hatched the plan in February that I would find a way to get those women back again. And you see it when they're dancing together. It's just this energetic bond through that kinetic movement and that relationship of kinetic intelligence that they have between them, and it's really unique and really special. So yeah, that was really the plan, was to showcase them and their incredible bonds for Circles Baby. I thought that worked quite well.
Well, I think we did too.
I've always said in the Wiggles that it was about joy and spreading joy, and I think that video in particular, I think we're still doing that. And I think with the Soul Movers, you know, with this album particularly, there's a lot of joy there, and I love that about music. I think it can tell lots of stories, it can change people's way of thinking, but it can also just provide joy, and I think that's really valid thing to do as well.
It's really interesting that you say that too, because even just hearing you talk about, you know, when you're working with Glenn and tapping into some of that joy you had, because I guess you provide that for lots of people, but to have that memory come back for you, you know, must be interesting, you know.
Yeah, so it was great working with Garth. And then he brought Tony, who was the bass player in Sherbet.
Sorry, Garth.
Yeah, that's right. the bass player from Sherbet along as well. And you know, we love him so much, so we've kind of poached him for our live shows as well. So fortunately, Matt, our bass player, loves playing guitar as well. So, you know, we had the big six-piece band, and it's really cool. And it's just great having Tony there. And we've been doing Summer Love, which was their big 1975 hit. Most of the audience know it, and if they don't, they love it anyway. So that's a really joyous thing for us.
It's actually our breakout song, Summer Love, because we play it last in the set, and it's got so much exuberance, and it's so Sydney, so many Chico bands, and you know, Chico Rolls and Puberty Blues and all that sort of great, you know, 70s vibe in it, that we always just say, quick, we don't think the cops are coming at this stage, let's bust a move. And we just hit those rolls like nothing you've ever heard, and everyone just leaps out of their seats and goes nuts. I'm Lizzie Mack.
And I'm Murray Cook from The Soul Movers, and you're listening to
Music, Mothers and Others.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a little segue now, and we've been talking a bit about memories and joy, and I'm going to ask you about your own musical memories from your childhood. If you can just pick one story to tell or one song that really struck a chord with you that maybe influenced, you know, what you were doing as an adult or just really defined what your childhood was like. So if you can think of maybe one musical memory, we'd love to hear it. Maybe we might start with Murray first.
Well, it's hard for me to put a finger on a song. When I was growing up, my parents didn't really have many. We didn't have a record player, and my parents didn't have many records. My parents were born in the 30s, so their kind of musical tastes were more like Dean Martin and stuff like that. And
glorious.
When we did get a record player, Mum had a 78 of That's Amore. And I was actually going to talk about something else, but this is a good one. And we just loved it. My brother and I loved it, and we played it over and over because we only had about four records. And my brother took it to school for some reason, and it broke. And we were all heartbroken. So it was awful. But apart from that, it was more like just hearing the radio. And I was kind of aware of the Beatles, you know, because I was a kid when the Beatles were still going. I was born in 1960, so, you know, my early childhood, the Beatles were around and I was aware of them. And then towards about the age of 9 and 10, I just became obsessed, and that was my beginnings to really get into music.
Lizzie, I think it's your turn now. Musical memory.
Well, I have one that I think is probably really valid in terms of non-binary gender moment, because I was into Dusty Springfield. We had quite a lot of vinyl, had lots of scratches on it because we're three sisters. We were always dancing and fighting each other to rip one song and put on another song that would be a better dance. We've been DJing since we were kids, you know. So there was one that I used to play. It was actually a single, and it was Dusty Springfield, I Only Want to Be With You. And I reckon I played that song sometimes 30 or 40 times a day. Mum, Dad would sometimes go slightly nuts, but that song is so well put together. And if you know that, intro on it, it's a two-bar intro, and she's straight into it, because back in the day, like, every second counted because you wanted a hit parade song around the two and a half minute mark. And just the vitality in her voice and that call of the power and the passion of someone who's just saying, I'm putting all my chips on your number, baby. You know, I only want to be with you. I'm completely certain of this one thing, that your love is going to save me. But her name was Dusty Springfield. And I said, I just love Dusty. I'm in love with Dusty, to my mum. And my mum said, you know, Dusty is a girl. And I said, but her name is Dusty. You know, what kind of a girl has a name like Dusty? And she went, well, it could be a nickname or something like that. And, you know, that my seven-year-old head flipped and went, I could be in love with the voice of a girl.
Yeah.
He's telling me exactly what I want to hear, but how does that roll, you know? So I was having some pretty interesting experiences back then in terms of that voice, you know, the voice of the singer that delivers this message that, you know, ignites your little heart and mind, and then how does that work, you know? So always out and loud and proud about loving Dusty Springfield, you know. The music is the message, the voice is the carrier of the message. who knows how it works really, but I tell you what, it was pretty powerful and I still feel the same way about that song.
Oh, what a glorious thing. And she is too, isn't she? They just, I was going to say they don't make it like that anymore, but it's hard to even know where she, you know, where and how she came from. It's incredible.
It's funny because she's such a tortured artist in her personal life, and you know, being gay in that time and place was appalling. You know, having to hide it, and we've seen the tennis coaches and we've seen the surf girls, and they're all hiding it until very, very recently. But she was free in her music, you know, in her voice and in singing those songs. That liberation was just so powerful, you know. So thank God artists have that, and sports people have that. They have that outlet, you know, for all the frustrations of the parts of them that the world doesn't want to accept, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We ask our guests who are experts, musicians and expert people in industry, but also often with a connection to family life and, you know, kids and in involving families in the industry. And Lizzie, I know you, when we were talking the other day, you said you've got a history in teaching as well, and Murray's already talked about his history, you know, formally and informally educating Australia's children when it comes to music. Do you, as in your position with industry experience, is there anything you'd recommend to kind of make the industry more family friendly, or, you know, parent, and that doesn't just have to be, you know, letting kids come to gigs. It could be allowing parents who've got, you know, or people in the broader village to participate more, or just making people feel more included. Or is there anything that kind of that you two have noticed that you thought we can do better there? Because we'd really like to know. This is Shell and I are on this campaign to say, how do we make this place better for people who, you know, who are involved in family life, however that works?
I think it's hard to shift the music industry from where it has been to where it needs to be. But I do think that having the same attitudes that we have in our personal lives and putting them in the music industry and seeing how it copes does work. So, for example, you know, we had a lovely meeting through beautiful Susie Dinnerham, who's at Mushroom Group, who's amazing at connecting people, with Jem, who was back in Sydney, who's a producer from LA. We started working with Jem, and then Grace had reached out. She's a 17-year-old woman, and we just thought we could get a collaboration happening, talking about some really difficult stuff there with girls. So we're like, okay, we're networking. We bring our networks together to form new music. But I also think, you know, that's just one thing that really the music industry doesn't do so well, because it's so competitive. So same with Bernadette November in Melbourne. We're going down there to speak to her, and she's like, God, it's so competitive down here. Women don't want to work with me because it's so competitive. I'm like, let's just change that, you know, networks, caring, sharing. What have you got to lose? It's creative, it's artistic. So that's one thing. But the other thing is also deliberately doing gigs which have got a family-friendly or interactive element, and playing them at times. You know, even the early shows of COVID are quite good, you know, because if you're doing a 6 o'clock and an 8:30 show, then, you know, somewhere in there a parent can maybe escape for a little while and go and get some, you know, some and dance and shoes on the dance floor too now as of next week. Second album launch, because the first one was a sellout. We're just like, great, this one will have a dance floor as well. But, yeah, look, taking those things that work from your personal life into the music industry and just saying this is the way we're rolling, because that don't work.
I know there are a few clubs too, because, you know, for the last sort of 40 years, sort of rock and roll music has been has come up through pubs. And so, you know, that's not necessarily conducive to having families.
No.
But I've just noticed fairly recently, I know at the Petersham Bowling Club, they quite often have afternoon shows that kids can come, you know, with their parents, and, you know, they don't play too loud. And there's another club in Marrickville called the Great Club, and they're starting some sort of family friendly sessions. So I think it's also happening as musicians get a bit older and they have families themselves, and so they kind of can relate. Like when you're 25, you think, oh, who cares, you know, but when you're 40 or 45, you know, it's quite a different situation, and you might not want to be playing kids' music, but kids enjoy adults' music too, you know. It just depends on what it is. But
I wonder too if you don't want to be leaving your kids behind, because, I mean, obviously people have been getting older, but there's been quite a gendered thing that it was just expected. It was, you know, guys would go on the road and they wouldn't have an option necessarily. And I wonder if that's something that, you know, we might want to change, you know, because.
Yeah. I mean, I experienced that big time. My kids are in their 20s now, but, you know, through the real sort of heyday of my period with the Wiggles, you know, when we were spending, you know, 6 weeks at a time in America you know, three times a year. And, you know, I really did miss it a lot. I one tour, we just hired our own bus so that the family could come with us. Because when you're traveling by bus, you can't sort of drive from gig to gig, you know, yourself. So you really need that. But yeah, that was a struggle, and actually that was part of the reason why I stopped doing it, because my son was doing his HSC, and I just thought, I've missed so much. I really just need to be home, and I think a lot of musicians are like that, but they're kind of changing. I was talking to Dan Sultan yesterday. He's a good friend of mine, and you know, he's got a young daughter who's almost two, he's decided, well, over COVID, he didn't do anything last year, basically. He just did some recording. They went on a big trip. But this year he's saying, you know, I just want to do select gigs. I want to be really careful. I don't want to just go out on tour, because you just miss so much. So I think that's an important part too.
Yeah, yeah. He had that amazing kids album as well. That's the first gig that my daughter went to, was Dan's kids album. So there you go.
Well, that's kind of how we hooked up, because I knew him already, but he came and asked my advice about the kids album, and he won the ARIA that year, and he gave me a shout out, which was really lovely.
Oh, yeah. What advice did you give him? Don't swear on the kids album.
No, it was more. Yeah. It was partly about where to take it, and which a business side of things. But he ran things past me and just said, "Do you think this would work?" So it wasn't so much me saying, "Do this, do this, do this." It was more like, you know, giving it a bit of a tick of approval, I guess, because he had good ideas. He was already there, really, and you know, he's a very sensitive guy, so you know, he kind of got it.
And that was lovely too. I think it's really important in music, because it's such a tough industry, and it's an industry you can compare yourself to other people in so easily. They seem to be doing really well. What am I doing wrong? But, you know, that belief that you can either have in yourself, or that can be engendered or supported by people around you, you know, that's really what Dan was asking Murray. He's like, do you believe in this, i.e. do you believe in me? And the minute that pilot flame is kind of lit, you can do so much more, because you're actually sort of breaking down the barriers that you've got with yourself that says, I really believe in this and I'm going to put everything into it and make it fly, you know. So I think with music, more than anything, that's something, having self-belief or other belief or parent belief or something, I think is just such an essential ingredient into making it in the industry.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, that's so true, actually.
You're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
So I think the last question we love to ask our guests on Music Mothers and Others is to finish a sentence for us. And the sentence is, the kids and I are listening to, and then you just say, what kind of music are you listening with the kids that are around your life? And it can be your own kids. It can be the, you know, you're the auntie, the uncle. It can be the kids over the back fence. We just want to know, what kinds of stuff are you listening to with the kids at the moment? So if you can complete the sentence, the kids and I are listening to, maybe Lizzie, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'm working with 2 8-year-old girls, my sister's twins, and we are jamming to and listening to The White Stripes, because it's such a clean, easy to tap along to on your brand new instruments, but also easy to jam and add on to. So that's what we're doing, and I think the rest of the country's doing it too.
That's awesome.
It's a bit funny with me, because the kids and I, my daughter lives with us, but my son doesn't. I'm really not sure what he's listening to. Even when he did live with us, he was one of those, you know, he's got the earbuds in the whole time. But I know I know that he and his girlfriend listen to some classic rock, like The Doors and stuff. So I think I do like to think that part of my influence was there. My daughter and I guess have been listening to the most recent Springsteen album. I've kind of I almost said infected her, but that's.
No, that's how her. That's how we do it. Yeah. That's how we do it.
She loves some modern music, but she's really old school. Yeah, she's got an old head on her shoulders, I think. So she's when Springsteen was out here a few times in the last few years, she's gone to all the shows with me. We went to not all the shows, but we went to Melbourne as well, and went to Hanging Rock, and she's seen him in Vienna, I think. And, so, you know, we're kind of fans. So I guess that's where we are.
That's pretty awesome. I love it. Yeah. Look, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. I don't know how you do it. And I was actually speaking to a mum the other day and saying, I could never make music if I didn't have that selfish time, because you're so pulled in so many different directions and your focus gets all fluffy. I'm like, I said to her, how do you do it? And she goes, I don't know, just one day at a time.
You make mistakes with time zones. You get that's how you do it.
Oh, that's fine.
You do it. You lose a lot of sleep. You just cut down on that expected 7 or 8 hours.
But that's what the music industry prepares you for, right? You're just jet lagged and you don't sleep. Like, that's all so it
true.
Is.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, Lizzie, over in Western Australia. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you too, Murray. We love it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
It's evolution.
It's evolution.
And it's circles, baby.
It's circles, baby.
It's circles, baby.
It's circles, baby.
And that's the Soul Movers.
That's the Soul Movers.
Soul Movers.
Soul Movers.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Music, Mothers and Others is written and produced by Liz Dufresne and Shelley Brunt and edited by Nina Longfellow. We're broadcast on 2SER and across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. Visit us on Instagram and Facebook to find out who our upcoming guests will be. See you next time.